Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the fourth Sunday of Easter, 2017.
In our readings this Sunday, there's the really dominant image of the Lord as our shepherd, and this is woven through the scripture readings, and our opening prayer also was moving us in that direction. With all of that, every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, that the church draws from readings that put that image before us. So this Sunday is always known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And one of the beautiful things in the gospel that we just heard that the Lord Jesus tells us that he does as our good shepherd is he says that my sheep, they know me, they know my voice, and I call them by name, by name. And, you know, although a lot of us here, some of us, you know, will have, like there's probably a decent number of you that are named John or Mary, we can share the same name. But when the Lord here says, I know my sheep and I call them by name, what he means is like that deeper name that the book of Revelation says, those who are in heaven will receive a stone upon which is written their name. Like the absolutely unique, irrepeatable, only ever given to one person name. And you know that God's created us that way. So when he says, I call my sheep by name, he means in the most personal and intimate way. Never ever just calling kind of just in mass, but unique, individual, very personal. And he says that's what he does as the good shepherd. He knows each of us by name. In terms of that calling by name on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the church also celebrates this as the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, because we hear that and we take that seriously, that in the work of salvation, our good shepherd not only leads us into these green, verdant pastures of eternal life, new life, the life that we heard St. Peter talk about a couple weeks ago at the beginning of his letter, when he's blessing God the Father for having given us new life. Our good shepherd not only leads us into that new life that's captured in the image of the verdant pastures, but he also wants us to be one with him in his work, in his mission. And so every single one of us is called not just to enter into life, but on top of that great dignity, we get to go even deeper because he says, I want you to be working with me. I want you to be part of this thing that I'm doing to bring the whole world to my heart. And so every single one of us has received a vocation, a call by God to be part of that mission. And in the big picture, that covers vocations of married life, priesthood, consecrated life, a religious life, single life. Every single one of us is called. And so on this Sunday, the church says we want to pray especially for those who are being called to priesthood and to consecrated life, that they would be able to hear the voice of the shepherd clearly, and that they would have the courage, the grace to be able to respond. And this weekend, we want to help you to be able to act on that prayer and on what we hear in the gospel. So in our Adoration Chapel, which is dedicated to Jesus the Good Shepherd for the sake of prayers for vocations, Matt and I set up in there one of our podiums, and on it you'll find at the end of Mass, you'll find some large postcard size prayers addressed to Jesus the Good Shepherd. And in that prayer, there's a blank line, Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, hear my prayers for. And what I want to ask you to do is, as we go through the Mass, think about a young man, a young woman's name, boy, girl, could be one of your own children, it could be a niece or a nephew, it could be a brother or a sister. But what I want to invite you to do is to stop through the chapel at the end of Mass and to put down someone by name that we can join with you in praying for, that they might hear the Lord's voice. There is nothing more beautiful than hearing the voice of the shepherd and being led into that absolutely unique place that God is calling you into, that mission that no one else has called to. And you probably have heard this before, but it really is true. God has made you to be part of his work that nobody else was made to do. And if you don't do it, there's not some other cog that he just slaps in and has that person do it. You are absolutely unique, called by name. And the great joy in life is discovering that vocation. So we want to pray this weekend for that gift, for that to be able to happen for our young men and our young women. You'll also find in there, so on the you can fill out that little prayer card with someone's name, drop it into the basket that's on the little table right inside the sanctuary in the chapel. And on that same table with the basket, you're going to find two invitation cards to two high school camps that the Archdiocese runs for our guys and our girls each summer to help them to take a few days away out of the normal kind of place in their life to hear what God might be calling them to. And it could be to priesthood or married life. It could be to the consecrated life as a sister. But the person's name that you put down, if you're connected with them enough that and you're close enough to them, that can be an invitation that you give to them. And you could say to them very simply, you know, here at my church on Sunday, we prayed that young men and women would hear God's voice calling them to whatever their vocation might be. And I thought of you, and I wanted just to give this invitation to you. But it's a way of taking that prayer a step further, not just saying, well, Lord, do something with this, but do something with it through me. And so all that's going on in the chapel. But I'm going to hand it over to Matt now, who's going to share a little bit more about that, about the guys' camp this summer, and a little bit just about his own call, his own response to the voice of the Good Shepherd that led him to this place now as a seminarian.
I was having a conversation earlier this week with one of our staff members, and she reminded me of an image, an analogy that the church uses to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. And it's an image that appears in Eucharistic prayer 2. It's right at the time where the priest is calling down the Holy Spirit upon the bread and wine before they become the body and blood of Jesus. And the prayer reads like this: make holy these gifts by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall. The dewfall. We don't see the formation of the dew, and most of us can't describe precisely how and when the dew falls. But the dewfall happens because we see its effects. In a similar way, it's too difficult for me to, in just a few minutes, try to describe for you the working of the Holy Spirit in my life that's brought me to seminary and brought me here and now. But I know the Spirit's working because of what I've experienced in my heart. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, I would tell you simply that I heard Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calling me. This wasn't a physical hearing with my ears, but an interior spiritual hearing in my heart and in my soul. God doesn't typically work through theophany, this radical, miraculous breaking in into our lives. What he does is the Spirit, he moves in a more subtle and imperceptible way, like the dewfall. So rather than trying to give you a play-by-play of the dew falling in my own life, I thought it would be helpful just to lay out how the Spirit worked subtly and imperceptibly in my home life, in the domestic church, through my parents and experience of my family. Because it was there in the practices, the spiritual practices that my parents implemented, that I was prepared, I was disposed to hear the Good Shepherd calling when he did. And there were three very specific ways that my parents created an environment at home that prepared me to hear God's call. And very simply, they were prayer, people, and pilgrimages. First and foremost, prayer. Every week, we would come to Mass. My father, my mother would bring all of us children to Mass on Sunday to pray together. And that was a non-negotiable. Within the home, we would pray the rosary together. Not every day. That wasn't plausible, feasible. But we made an effort to pray together as a family, 2-3 nights a week, whatever we could. And then lastly, we were fortunate enough in a couple states we lived to be close to a parish that offered perpetual Eucharistic adoration. And so my parents took the initiative to commit to an hour a week. And we're fortunate enough to have a Eucharistic adoration chapel here in this parish. So I would encourage parents to commit your families together to 1 hour during the course of that adoration, Wednesday to Saturday morning, to pray together as a family. Secondly, through the people we got to know. Every parish we went to or school we belonged to where they were religious, my parents took the step of inviting those religious priests, sisters, into our home so that we could get to know them on a human level. Before a man can see himself as a priest, he has to see the priest as a man first and foremost. And so we had the opportunity to meet regular men and women who took the step, who thought God was calling them to a special spiritual vocation, and we got to meet them, interact with them on a very basic human level, and that really broke down some barriers in our own minds about, you know, where do vocations come from? Could God be calling me? Because when you can see somebody as just like you and me, you could be called to the same thing they are. And then lastly, pilgrimages. Admittedly, the first couple, my brother and I, were sent. We didn't really know we were going on them until about the day before. But our parents committed us, and then eventually we did enjoy going on these retreats, to taking a step, making a retreat, just spending time with the Lord, with others of our peers. But you know, it was an investment. It's certainly a time investment, but it was worth it. And those are just three simple ways that my parents, my primary evangelizers, those who not only taught me about the Lord, but introduced me to the Lord and brought me into that friendship with Christ, those are just three ways that very simply and practically they were able to dispose myself and my brother. My brother is a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He's coming on 3 years ordained. But in very implicit ways, they helped us to be open, our hearts to be open to what God was asking us to do. And they're very simple ways that parents today to continue to open your children or help them prepare for God, the Good Shepherd, to be calling them. I'll just say one other thing. Today is the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, and I think it's helpful to try and rethink the way we conceive of prayer. Prayer, oftentimes, we think of primarily as an operation of our mouths, our lips, when really it's an orientation of our heart and our minds to God. And where our hearts and minds are directed, our hands, our feet, our voices will follow. So if we're talking to God about vocations, we need to have the courage to talk to our youth, our children, our nephews, nieces, grandsons, friends, peers, or even look in the mirror and ask ourselves, or talk to ourselves about vocations. Could it be me? Could it be my brother, a friend? But prayer charges us to act. It doesn't just leave everything to God as if he doesn't give us the grace through the sacraments to become his arms, his legs, his voices. You know, our prayer should challenge us, should charge us to cooperate with God's grace to bring those prayers to fruition. And so how do we act on this prayer for vocations? Mirroring what I've already discussed, one, just pray as a family. Pray together at Mass, at home, and before the Eucharist. Get to know your priest or religious. Invite them into your home so that your children can see them as regular human beings, men and women, but who took a leap of faith into a calling that was maybe mysterious or mystical and may still be to your children. And finally, make a retreat or a pilgrimage. Make that investment. We have, the Archdiocese has been sponsoring a Quo Vadis camp and a Fiat camp for high school men, young men and young women for the last 4 or 5 years. We have saved the dates in the chapel. So as Father said, if there is someone who you think may have something you know, spiritual about them or may have a special calling, or just somebody who is trying, you know, high school, who's trying to stay faithful to the church, stay close to God, and maybe struggling either in high school, just meeting peers who can healthily challenge them and encourage them in their faith journey, invite them to this camp. They don't have to be explicitly considering a call to priesthood or religious life. It could just be a great way for them to go deeper into their faith. The seminarians will be running the boys' camp, and you know, we're not, some are more normal than others, but it's an easy way to try to get to know us as human beings, guys who are just making a good faith effort to follow where the Lord is calling. And for the girls' camp, Fiat, a number of religious sisters are there. Usually the Nashville Dominicans are one of the orders represented. But again, it breaks down that barrier that oftentimes we're conditioned to think of religious as coming, you know, being hatched out of eggs or coming a kind of prefab from heaven, dropped down onto our laps. But they, vocations are born and raised up within the context of a family, just like Jesus' vocation was. And so I would ask you to prayerfully consider who you could pray for, who you could invite. It's a concrete step to really cooperating with the working of God's grace, the falling of that dew in the lives of our young people. And so on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I'd ask that you pray for priests like Father Arnold, seminarians like myself who are trying to follow God's will, and especially pray for the young men, especially in this congregation today, who God may be calling, but from whom he's still waiting for a response.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.